Can you believe it? Christmas Eve day is here. And we're moving faster into Christmas. And I know that there are some procrastinators out there that today, we did talk about that, that there are procrastinators out there and that will be pounding the bush for that last minute gift today. But in response to you, you have a great excuse. Marquise became a grandfather yesterday, so that definitely gives him reason to go and to procrastinate. But I know there are some this morning that will be finishing up their shopping, and those that have waited to the last minute, those that didn't feel like it, and those that are now at crunch time. The only thing I can say to you is good luck with that. That toy that's hard to get probably won't be there today. So I pray that, there's some that aren't here this morning because they have had to get that last minute. And don't look around to find out who it is, because we have people traveling today. They know who they are. but let's talk Christmas for a moment. Christmas is supposed to be the celebration of Jesus Christ. It's supposed to be a time that we really take and reflect back on our lives and see where we're at with the Lord. It's a time that we see the same baby Jesus that later dies on the cross for us, gives us opportunity to have salvation by His resurrection. We know that we can be resurrected, and He fulfilled all prophecy, and all of that has been told so many times. And He's not one of many ways for salvation. He is the way for salvation. It's not that we are given a choice. We are given a choice, especially at Christmas time. We're reminded of that choice, that it's not a question of whether Jesus is Lord. It's a question of whether He is Lord of your life and in your life. And He is the Savior of the world, and He has already become the Savior. It's just whether He's going to be your Savior. And then I think at Christmas time, especially for unbelievers and even those that procrastinate making a commitment to Him, it's a time that a lot of people struggle. And you just see that, and you can tell, because there's the joy is gone, and what should be a joyous time ends up to be a time of struggle. If you're struggling that much to make sure that a gift is the only way that you can express your love for someone, then you really need to take a hard look at that. And for an unbeliever, I believe it's a reminder of decisions that they've made. And if you went right on down through it, an agnostic who doesn't even believe there's a God. And if there is, and that's the way they put it, if there is a God, He doesn't really want to know you, and you can't reach Him. And if there's really a God, and if He does exist, he doesn't care anything about your life. And I can understand those people not having joy. Say amen. I can understand inside there, because you see there's turmoil, there's decision making, there's doubts, there's all of these things going on. But what about believers that struggle with that? What about the believers that struggle with the joy issues and the things that are going on in their lives? And, why don't they have the joy of the Lord? I want to take just a moment to talk about how we can receive that joy, and the joy that would last forever. And then we're gonna finish it up tonight. But happiness in the world is dependent on right now. Say amen to that. It's about right now. They're happy if right now they're happy, and it doesn't go any farther. It doesn't look past the external things. It doesn't look past the temporary things. But godly joy is based upon what's going on the inside. Do you know that you can't take away what's on the inside of me? I can't take away what's on the inside of you. If the joy of the Lord is in your heart, no matter what circumstance you may be going through right now, we can't take that from you unless you give it up. And godly joy is based upon that. And I want to look at Luke here for a minute. Luke chapter 1, looking at verses 26 to 38. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, the town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at these words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin," the angel answered, "the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your words be to me fulfilled." And then the angel left. I want you to see the first enemy of joy was speaking right by Mary. The first enemy of joy is this, and if you're writing it down, is fear and anxiety. Mary had questions, didn't she? Anybody else that was in that circumstance, wouldn't you have questions? Mary had questions, and the first one is like the deer in the headlights. Who, me? I'm to carry the Son of the living God? Who, me? And then the next one would be, why me? Wouldn't that be your guys? Who, me? And then why me? And God goes on and tells her that she was the chosen one by God for this purpose. And then she got scared. That really is human nature. Who, me? Why me? And after it settles in, you see all the fear and everything that would take place in her life. And do you blame her? I mean, I don't care if you were a Christian for 80 years, that would be something that would scare you. It's supposed to be a Merry Christmas, and if that was the case, it'd be scary Christmas. It would be something that we would have to get a hold of. It would have to be something that we'd have to get a grip on. And then I believe the next question she had is, how is this possible? Now, I'm not a theologian to dig real deep in this passage here, but I'm sure she understood the birds and the bees. So when she said, "How is this possible?" I don't think she really meant, "How is this possible?" She meant, "How could it be possible since I haven't been with a man?" And I'm sure she would know if she was with a man or not. You know, and then God responds here and begins to share with her some deep things. He says, "The Holy Spirit of God will overshadow you and a miraculous conception will take place." And then he does something really bizarre. He says, "Oh, by the way, Your relative that couldn't have a child, she is also pregnant and in her sixth month." And I think that's kind of funny because it's long before telephones, emails, text, smoke signals probably. I mean, there was no way that she was getting news that she was not aware of. It wouldn't be like we could pick it up. We would, you know, you can go to the internet. We got any kind of information that we want at any time. But I'm telling you, because of the way they were, that the angel here speaking to her was giving her things that she didn't know. And you know, they didn't have Camel Express, so I'm sure there was this was news to her. And then says, "For nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is possible with God." The scripture doesn't say almost anything is possible with God. Doesn't say everything's possible with God except what you're going through. He says all things are possible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. And my thought to you this morning is, do you believe that? Do you believe that God can do something miraculous? Do you believe that God can do something that you can't even think of? Or do you think you're smarter than God? And that's really what it amounts to. Because if you've thought this through and you don't see any other way for God to do something that he needs to do in your life, well then really you're without expressing it, you're saying, God, I thought of it all, so it must not be able to do it. There's nothing that you could do. And then my question would be, how would you respond if you were Mary and God gave this information to you? Would you have a little bit of anxiety? Would you be a little bit fearful? And then would you, in Mary's response in verse 38, would you be able to, in the midst of all this that just happened, would you be able to stand there and say, I am the Lord's servant. May your words to me be fulfilled. Because there is some trusting God right there. And our Christian faith sometimes takes us right to the deep end, don't it? There's no getting in at the shallow water and kind of and keep going. Sometimes God just takes us right to the deep end, and right sometimes he doesn't allow us to see all that he wants to do because we've got to step out in faith. We've got to step out and know that one step after another, God is going to be there. Amen? Our Christian faith will take us where we have no choice but to step out in faith and where God will provide for us. And here's the longer I'm a Christian, here's the thing. You take that step and God gives you the next step. If you don't take that next step, you're going to stall out because God is wanting us to take that next step and to walk by faith. Walk with an attitude of nothing is impossible with God, and being a Christian is supposed to be joyful. If you look, the whole scriptures, I have told you this so that your joy may be full. One version says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be complete. And that comes from walking one step at a time by faith, that your joy may be full. Do you know that the Christian faith sings more songs than any other religious ever? Any other religion? They have radio stations that start Christmas in August, and sometimes they don't even repeat. Because there are so many songs that would tie us to Christmas and tie us to joy and tie us to the Christ child. Everywhere you look, especially now, is the word joy. It's all over the place. Yet half of society is searching for joy. Half of society is trying to find this area in their life that's void. See, you can put the word joy all over the place. You can sing all of the songs that are supposed to take a Christian to joy, and it won't get there unless you have the joy of the Lord in your heart. See, for a Christian that has the joy of the Lord, singing a joyful song about Jesus stirs that joy within us. So you can't put it there without the Lord giving you that joy. It can enhance it if it's already there, but putting a sign out and saying, be joyful, is not going to put joy in our heart. It's the same as if I say, love the Lord. Do good things. You can do that, but unless it's in the heart, it's not there. Being a Christian, we should be joyful. The Bible tells us also that we should have joy unspeakable. I want that. Don't you want that? I want that. In even in the midst of a chaotic world, in the midst of we don't know who's going to hit the easy button, no matter what, that you should want the joy of the Lord. You should want that joy unspeakable. You should want all the fullness of God. And I bet you want that too, to experience God in His fullness. If I had a prayer for our congregation and every family represented, it would be that they would experience God in a new and fresh way. That they would experience the joy unspeakable. That they would get past some of the things that steal joy, the Grinch of stealing joy, and experience God in a fresh and powerful way. In a way that we can't even comprehend. You know how I know it's just me, so I'm talking to myself. But we try to outthink God sometimes. Or we think we have the answer that God didn't think of. And if we only tell God this, then He'll go, "Oh, that's right, I didn't think of that. Thanks for telling me. I'll get right on that." God says we should have joy unspeakable. Kay Warren, in her book, I love this. It just allowed me to read just a paragraph. It really is her definition of joy, and I love it. It says, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of every detail of our life. That gives me joy. It is the quiet confidence that ultimately everything will be all right. It may not all be all right now, but God is in control and He is going to work it out. Ultimately, everything will be all right. Joy is the determined choice to praise God or honor God or to thank God in all things. That is a whole lot different than just feeling good. Joy is a choice. Joy is a character. Joy is a commitment. God wants you to have a joy-filled life. Isn't that good? Wouldn't your life be better if that paragraph described where you were at right now? I often think of another lady who wrote a book by the same title called Choose Joy, and it's actually our pastor, wife at Lavelle, the church where I came from. Crystal and Jeremy both are ordained Nazarene preachers that co-pastor that church, and they lost a baby. And she wrote a book, Choose Joy, at a time that was very hard for them. And how many know that would take God? That would take the Lord to take and allow you to have any joy at a time where you would be expecting. If you want to experience joy, restore joy, you got to identify what steals joy. Some people hate Christmas because something happened at Christmas that was life-changing. Some can't forgive. Some can't forgive themselves, and even though God Himself has forgiven us. I heard one preacher say it this way: when anxiety comes in the front door, joy goes out the back door. When anxiety and fear come in the front door, joy goes out the back door. Mary was afraid, but she chose trusting God. The scripture says, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. Folks, sometimes you just have to trust God. Sometimes He doesn't allow us to have that. Now me, if I was Mary, knowing the way I am, I'd have said, excuse me? What does overshadow mean? And will it hurt? Will it affect my body at all? And can I have a little more detail on that? That would be me, but Mary was nervous, but she was able to say, "Your will be done, God. Whatever you want, I am wanting it." I would be afraid, you would be afraid, we would be anxious, but somewhere along the line, we would have to have the joy of the Lord, the peace of the Lord to accomplish. And you know, let me end this by asking a couple questions this morning. What makes you anxious? What makes you anxious at this Christmas time? What keeps you up at night? What causes you tension? You know, what makes you nervous? And then my question is it finances? Is it health issues? Is it about getting married? Is it about your marriage if you're already married? Is it about finding a job? Is it about the job that you have? See, I don't know what your enemy is this morning, but I know what the cure is. Just like Mary, we have to trust God, and we have to look at things that are out of our control and just that fact. God, I can't see this, but I'm going to trust you. You have to accept God's plan. We have to respond just like Mary. I am the Lord's servant. I belong to you, God. I trust you. I know that you have my best interest. And the Bible says, my spirit finds its joy in God, my Savior. Now tonight, I'm going to kind of pick up where we left off here, and I want to look at Joseph and the wise men in the same sense. Could you look at the Christmas story, and you really don't understand, or you know, you quickly read through it. That took some faith, folks. That was like, picture the most bizarre thing that somebody could come up to you and say to you at a moment you didn't expect them to say it. And that's what Mary, Joseph, and the wise men were experiencing. Yet we see that they had joy. Amen? I want to wish you a Merry Christmas for those that will be traveling today, and they won't be there tonight. And I do pray that you have a prosperous Christmas, and that as we move into the new year, that God would just not only bless you, but that God would use you. Amen. Father, I just ask as we just conclude this, Lord Jesus, it really is about being determined to find joy in the midst of where you're at. That Lord Jesus, we realize as we walk with you that sometimes you are the light, but you don't always shed light on every step that we take. Sometimes it is dark, but we know that light is there. And when the light shows up, there can be no more darkness. And Lord God, that's our prayer for those that are going through a tough time in their journey, that Lord God, your light would shine, that you would, Lord God, just minister to them in such a special way. We give you honor and we give you praise. I pray tonight as we get all of our things done today so that we could come tonight and just take a moment of our time again to not only, again, hear some things of the Christmas story and what you've done for us, but a time of fellowship, a time of just rejoicing with the family of God, taking a moment to just enjoy each other. In Jesus' name, amen.